Today she is in Sefer Becheres Daf Mem Beis, and we will begin Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis, four lines from the bottom, Chachamim in the Becheres. In the latter part of our previous shiur, we have discussed, the Gemara discussed, what was the halachic status of an androgynous. An androgynous being an individual who has simanim of a male and a female. Today's shiur will primarily focus on a tumtum that we described in the previous shiur as an individual who the simanim between male and female are covered, and we therefore don't know if he's a male or a female. Rav Chisda, machloikis ben androgynous. But we spoke at the end of the previous shiur, what is the status of an androgynous? Is it a suffix? Or is it a bari b'fnei atzma? Is it considered an independent new type of individual? Avo b'tumtum, but when we speak about a tumtum, says Rav Chisda, derehakol sveikahu, everybody will agree that a tumtum is considered a suffix zocher, a suffix nekeva. The question if he's a male or a female. And because we have this question if he is a male or a female, for Kaddish Nesveikah, we have to be machmer and treat him like a male, and therefore treat him as if he were a Bechar. And although we won't bring him as a carbon Bechar, we will not be allowed to use him until he becomes a full-fledged Bamo. Amle Rav, Rava asks Rava, if that is the situation, that a tumtum is certainly either a male or a female, we just don't know which, el mi'ata, then therefore the halach ought to be be'erich in yorid. We know that the Torah, Parshas B'chukosai, sets for every individual, based on their age and their gender, a erich, a specific value. Now ask the Gemara, if a tumtum is certainly either a male or a female, he should be in the parasha of Erechin. Avama Tanya, why have we learned in a brisa Hazachar, that the Torah in the parasha of Erechin says the word Hazachar with that extra hey, to teach us why Tumtum and Androgynous. That in Tumtum and Androgynous are excluded. For as the Rishonim explained, and this is the way we learned in the previous year as well, even though we may not know if this Tumtum is a male or a female, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly knows if he is or he isn't. And by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we explained in the previous shiur, there are no sveikis. And since there are no sveikis, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should certainly be either treated like a male or a female. Says the Gemara, indeed, Sami Mikan Tumtum. The Tumtum should be taken out. The Tumtum does have to give an erech. And in fact, the Rishonim say, not only will he have to give an Erech, but he'll have to give the higher Erech. Because even though normally we have a rule that we've discussed numerous times, of Amotzi Mechaveroi, all of Haraya, that's only in a situation where it's not with Hegdish. But since, as we'll learn, know, understand, Erechin goes to Hegdish, when it goes to Hegdish, there is no rule of Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya. And the Mefarsh and the Rishonim give two reasons why a regular rule of Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya doesn't apply by Hegdish. One explanation I saw is that there's a rule of Yad Hegdish Olav Yoyna. We always give Hegdish the upper hand. That's one explanation I saw. Another explanation that I saw is why indeed is the Halacha always Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya. The answer is, because if I'm holding the money, and you want to take money from me, I am the muhsik. But when it comes to Hegdish, Hegdish is always considered the muhsik. And since Hegdish is always considered the muhsik, that's why there is no rule of Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya. And therefore the Gemara, according to the Gemara at this point, not only will a tumtum be obligated to give an erech, but if there's a question if it's a male or a female, and usually the erich of a male is more than the erich of a female, he's going to have to give the erich of a male. However, the Achronim do point out that even though we're saying that a tumtum, Rav Chisda, is strongly indicating that a tumtum is not to be considered like a zachar, not to be considered like a berry b'fnei atzmai, he certainly is a safik. And therefore, if one brought a carbon that the Torah mandate should be either a zachar or a nekeva, I don't know if there are any kabbalists that the Torah mandates should be in the Kaiva, but there's certainly kabbalists that the Torah mandates should be a Zohar, and he brought the Tumtum, he would have to bring, even according to Rav Chizda, another carbon, because we can't be sure that he was Yotze the Mitzvah, that he was Mekayim, the obligation that he has, because this animal may indeed be in the keva, and the halacha is that if you have to bring a zacha and you brought in the keva, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Tashma. So again, the Gemara challenges Rav Chizda's opinion that everybody agrees that a tumtum is a sofik zacha, sofik in the keva. Yochel, the Braisa says, lo yehei be'erich ish, that when we speak about Erechin, the halacha should be that the tumtum and the dragoness should not have the din of a male as far as Erechin is concerned. Avi yehei be'erech isha, he should have the din of a female. Tamloy ma'azoch im nekeva, v'loy tumtum and the dragoness. So again, it seems that the rice is clearly indicating that a tumtum is a barrier of a is an independent barrier. For if he's a zocher or a nekeva, why is he excluded from the parasha of Erechin? Says Gemara again, Sami Mikan Tumtum, remove the Tumtum from this Braisa. A Tumtum would certainly be in the parasha of Erechin. And as we explained before, not only would be in the parasha of Erechin, he would have to give the more expensive Erech. Toshma, the Torah speaks regarding the Karban Shlomim. And Alocha says the Torah is regarding Karban Shlomim, Im Zocher Im Nekeva. He could bring either a male or a female. However, says the Braisa, Zocher na vadai, nekeva vadois. Only an animal which is either certainly a male or certainly a female may be brought. V'loi tumtum v'nadragnus. But a tumtum v'nadragnus may not be brought. So, ask the Gemara, if the tumtum, as Rav Chizda is saying, is a sofik, why does the Torah have to tell us that a tumtum isn't brought? Maybe we have a suffix, as we've explained this question many times in the previous year. Maybe we have a suffix if it's a zoch or a nekeva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no suffix that it is either a zoch or a nekeva. And since there is no question, then why does the Torah speak about it? Says the Gemara, indeed, sami mikan tumtum. The tumtum should be removed from this list. Tashma. So the Gemara brings another braisa. Zocher. The Torah here is speaking about the carbon oil. And the Torah says that the carbon oil should be brought from a zocher, v'loy nekeva, not from a female. Sho'omer, l'mat zocher. And as the Gemara quoted this braisa in the previous year, that the Torah again says a second time that the carbon oil should be a zocher, she'en tamid l'omer, which seems to be superfluous, because the Torah already taught us that the carbon should be a zocher. So the Braisa asks, Mat Tamad Loimer, why does the Torah have to say again that the carbon oil has to be a zocher? Says the Braisa, the second time is there, V'hoitzi tumtum v'androgynous, to exclude an animal which is a tumtum and androgynous. And again, ask the Gemara, according to Rav Chizda, a tumtum is either a male or a female. Again, we maybe don't know what this specific animal is, but the Torah doesn't have a suffix. So why does the Torah have to exclude it? Says the Gemara again, Sami Mikan Tumtum. The Tumtum should be taken out of this list. Toshma. So the Gemara continues, it says in a Braisa, Hanirba, an animal which was sodomized, Vanevet, or an animal that was worshipped as Avodah Zorah, Vamukso, an animal that was designated as an Avodah Zorah, V'esnan, an animal that was given to a zayna for payment. V'mechir, an animal, mechir kelev, the Torah says, an animal that was used in the purchase of a non-kosher animal. So that animal or bird, we're actually speaking about birds now, we'll see, that were given as a payment for a non-kosher animal, all such birds may not be brought as a carbon. It's interesting, I saw a vort from Rav Baruch Shimon Schneerson, the Chabina Rosh Yeshiva. He says, if the Torah wants to teach us the halacha, that a mechir kelev, that an animal that was used to buy a non-kosher animal, cannot, or a bird that was used to buy a non-kosher animal, cannot be brought as a carbon, why from all the non-kosher animals does the Torah choose to teach us this rule by a kelev, by a dog? So he says a very beautiful vart. He says that a dog, even though it's a non-kosher animal, we know has a very positive characteristic. It's extremely loyal to its master. But the Gemara also says that it has a very unfavorable characteristic as well, and that is that it is an asponim. It's not edel. It's not a refined animal. And what we're learning here in this pasuk, says the Chabina Rosh Yeshiva, is that even if something has a positive characteristic, that positive characteristic cannot cover up for the non-proper characteristic. And since it can't cover up for the non-proper characteristic, the halacha is that that animal that is bought, that is used to buy such an animal, will be considered a mechir kelev. V'tumtum v'nadroginus. And tumtum v'nadroginus, kulam metam begodim beis abliyah. We know the halacha is that an animal bird that's brought as a carbon, even though normally if we want to eat a bird, the way we eat a bird is by doing shchita. A bird in the Beis HaMikdash that's brought as a carbon, Malika was done. Malika, as the Kayan pierces the back of the animal with his fingernail. And the Torah teaches us that if were we to bring an animal, were we to kill an animal for our own eating in that fashion, it would be an avela. So since all of these animals may not be used as a carbon, so they have the din of an avela. And the halacha is the avela of a kosher bird is matame gadol beis abliyah. When you swallow it, you become tame. Now, the point that the Gemara is making, did you become Tomei Tumas Nevela? Rashi says because they're not supposed to be used as a carbon. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. The Rambam has a different approach. The Rambam's approach is that this animal, this bird, never became Kadosh in the first place. Because the Rambam says a bird that isn't qualified to be used as a carbon never had the Kedushas Bechor in the first place. Never had the Kedusha in the first place. Furthermore, it's interesting to point out that the Mefarshim teach us that if one were to use such an animal as a carbon, if Yisrael were to eat this animal, he would get Makis twice. He would be over two lavim. One lav he'd be over is the lav for eating Kachim that he's not supposed to eat, because this is kachim that may only be eaten by kanim, because the only oif that's ever eaten is a chatas oif, and a chatas oif may only be eaten by kohanim. That's one point the mefarshim make. And furthermore, the Yisrael that would eat it would be over the lav of eating an avela, because only the kohanim have a right to eat this bird, not the Yisrael. However, I did see from Rav Chaim Oizer and the Achiezer and from the Dvar Avraham that if a bird was slaughtered, was done nevela, carbon was done nevela, was done melika. So as we just said, as far as the Yisrael is concerned, it's a nevela, but as far as the din, and therefore he did two, if he would eat it, he would be over actually two lavim, the lav of Nevela and the lav of kachim, the din of tumas nevela would not apply in a kosher carbon. Al Gemara, however, speaking about these animals that may not be used as a carbon, And therefore, since they weren't allowed to be used as a carbon, they have on them Tumas Neveila. Ask the Gemara, continues the Braisa, Rav Elazar Omer, Tum of androgynous Ematam begotten Beisa Bliya. The Tum of an androgynous, a bird that's a Tum of an androgynous, don't have, would not be considered a Neveila. They're not excluded. Why? Because Rav Elazar Omer, Shayer Rav Elazar Omer, Kamakum Shanem Zachav in the Keva, wherever the Torah specifies that the carbon should be a male or a female, that's where at the mighty tumtum androgynous from the name, a tumtum androgynous are excluded. For oif, however, when it comes to birds, the Torah never specifies, the Torah doesn't specify when bringing a bird as a carbon that it should be a female or a male, and at the mighty tumtum androgynous from the name. The tumtum androgynous are therefore, according to Rav Elazar, not excluded. And that's why birds, according to Rav Elazar, have a unique rule that you could bring even a tumtum androgynous as a carbon. The Mefarshim discuss how would one know if the bird is a tumtum androgynous. So the Ratvas says, if a bird doesn't mate with any other birds, then it's a tumtum. And a bird that mates with other birds, whether it is the male characteristic or the female characteristic, is obviously an androgynous. But the question still remains according to Rav Chisda, that the Tanakhama of this Braisa eliminated a tumtum. But why should a tumtum be eliminated? A tumtum is a suffix. The Torah doesn't have to eliminate a suffix. The Torah has no stakes. Says the Gemara, the same teretz that is said numerous times, Sami Mikan Tumtum, indeed the Tumtum should be taken out of the list. So Surah Abul Yashar asks the question. According to Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda is saying now that this is actually everyone's opinion, a Tumtum is a suffix. So why, if a Tumtum is brought as a carbon, will it be an invalid carbon? It's a suffix Rishus Arabim. And the halacha is because the Beis HaMikdash, where the Tumma was brought, where the carbon was brought, is a suffix Tumma Rishus Arabim. So why is the halacha, asks Rebbe Yoshev, if somebody eats this Tumtum bird carbon, will he become Tumay? It should be considered a situation of suffix Tumma Rishus Arabim. And suffix Tumma Rishus Arabim is Tahar. Answers Rebbe Yoshev that the Tumma is not in the Rishus Arabim. The Tumma, since, as we said a few moments ago, of a Neveila, is a Beis HaBliya, is in the person's throat. The person's Beis HaBliya is considered a Rishus HaYachid, and therefore a Tumtum that was brought as a carbon, and there's a suffix of it, if it's a Neveila or not, according to the Gemara before, Rabbi Chisda removed Tumtum from the list, but according to the Gemara there was a suffix, it would not be considered suffix Tumtum Rishus HaRabim, it would be considered suffix Tumtum Rishus HaYachid. But again, according to Chizda, it's removed. Actually, according to Chizda, a tumtum bird can be brought as a carbon because either it's a male or a female. And as the Gemara just said, a bird, there is no difference if it's a male or a female. It may be brought as a carbon. Tashma. So Gemara brings another brisa. Rav Elazar, Gemara brings another brisa. Rav Elazar Omer, hatreifa, an animal which is a treifa, a klayim, or an animal which is klayim, the yotze dofen, or an animal that was born by cesarean, tumtum v'androgynous, like kedoshim v'loy magdishim. Vam Shmuel, and Shmuel immediately explains what does like kedoshim v'loy magdishim mean. Like kachim v'truma, that if we have an animal that is a carbon, and the Torah says lo yamireno, we should not substitute that first animal with another animal. But the Torah says, "V'mhamu yomer oisoi." If one were to do so, for hayahu usmarasoi yeah kaddish, the second animal becomes kaddish as well. Teaches us this brisa that if this second animal is a tumtum or androgynous, it will not become kaddish through the tamura process. Furthermore, v'lo magdishim lasas tamura. If an animal which is a tumtum or androgynous, we try to expand its kedusha to another animal, it doesn't have the ability to make a tamura. So again, from here we see that a tumtum is a berry b'fnei atzma. Because if it's a zachor and a keva, as Rav Chisda says, why shouldn't the din of tumura apply? Says the Gemara, indeed, some can tumtum. Rav Chisda will remove tumtum from this brisa as well. Tashma, another brisa. Rav Leza Omer, chamishim like kedoshim like medishim, and the five animals that don't have the hilchus tumura, veilein a treifa, a klein v'yotzidofim tumtum and dragonus. So again, the question is, why not? A tumtum is either a zakor or a nekeva, teaches us Rav Chisda. The Chitayman suggests the Gemara, the Hachi Nami, will say, as we've said so many times in today's shiur, some mikan tumtum, that the tumtum should be removed from the list. Says the Gemara, that will be difficult to do, because the Braisa began with the words chamisha, that was speaking about five animals. If we're removing the tumtum, we're only going to have four. Havalei arba. But the Braisa says we're speaking about five animals. Answers the Gemara, Apit tumtum, teka tumtum v'ayil yosom. The Torah teaches us, through a drasha, that an animal that never lived together for one moment with its mother, that means its mother died in childbirth, such an animal does not have the din of ma'isa behema. And the Gemara obviously here is teaching us that din is not limited to ma'isa behema, but it's a din regarding all karbanos, that such an animal should not be brought as a carbon. Teaches us now the Gemara that's what the Braisa is teaching us, that animal, since it cannot be used as a carbon, like Kaitshev or like Magdisha. The question will be, as we're going to see on Amud Beis in Mirtz Hashem, not everybody ultimately agrees with Rav Chisda. Rav Yochanan actually disagrees with Rav Chisda, and Rav Yochanan holds that a tumtum is a berry b'fnei atzma. So now the question is, if Rav Yochanan holds that a tumtum is a berry b'fnei atzma, so why does this Braisa only mention five cases? The Braisa should have mentioned six cases. It should have mentioned the case of a yosim. And it's difficult to say, point out the Mepharshim, the Tana v'Shayer, that the Tana left the cases out, because we know that you have to have at least two exceptions. What would be the other exception besides Yosem that would be left out of the list? So some Mepharshim suggest the din of Yosem, that an animal that never lived for one moment together with its mother, Rabbi Yochanan will hold, is only a din by Maisa Behema, and not a din by all other Kabbanis, not a din by Tamura, and therefore it doesn't belong in this list. Other Mepharshim suggest that the din of Yosem, so how do we explain a Yosem? That its mother died in childbirth, otherwise they would have been together in the world at least for some time. Say the Mepharshim that therefore a Yosem is actually in the same category as a Yotzi Dofen, as a Caesarean, and therefore the Yosem do not have to be mentioned separately. Ask the Gemara Lameka Tanoi. And the Mepharshim make a very interesting observation. Throughout Shas, when the Gemara says Lameka Tanoi, usually what it means is that we have a Machloikis Amoron, and ask the Gemara Lameka Tanoi, that this Machloikis Amoroyim is not just a Machloikis Amoroyim, it's a Machloikis Tanoim. Here in our Gemara, and our entire shiur that we've learned today, we haven't found anyone that disputes Rav Chisda, that the Gemara should say that machlokes perhaps represents lemeka tanoi, machlokes tanoim. Therefore, explain the Mepharshim that here the question lemeka tanoi is to be understood somewhat differently. Rav Chisda has said that there's no one that holds that a tumtum is a barrier b'fnei atzma. Ask the Gemara, Lameka Tanoi, perhaps we can't find a Tana that does hold that it's a berry b'fnei atzma. Because the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says, Rebbe Loi, Oim Mishem Rebbe Shmuel, Androgynous, Bechar Hu, Umume Imai. That Androgynous is considered a Bechar, but it's a Balmum. We discussed Rebbe Shmuel's opinion at the end of yesterday's Shir. Bechar Maimir, Ein Kedusha Chalalov. The Chum hold that Androgynous is a berry b'fnei atzma, and therefore is not subject to Hilchas Bechayra. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Oymer Shem Rav Shimon, Hareyu Oymer HaZachar, the Torah says HaZachar, V'chom Mokoy, Shinem HaZachar, wherever the Torah says the word Zachar, Ein Elohotik Tumtum Androgynous. Clearly it seems that Rav Shimon's opinion is that a Tumtum Androgynous is to be considered a barrier b'fnei atzma. But we're saying, Rav Chisda's been saying our entire shir, that no one holds that a tumtum is a barrier b'fnei atzma. The chitayman, if we want to say here, as we've said so many times in our shir, some mikan tumtum, that the word tumtum should be removed from here, and therefore Rav Shimon Yehuda is only talking about the androgynous and not about the tumtum. So then ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon Yehuda and Rabbanim. The Rav Shimon Yehuda and the Rabbanim are saying the exact same thing, that the androgynous is a bari b'fnei atzma, not the tumtum. So where's the machloikus? Elalav, how must we explain tumtum ikibinayu? That the Chachamim and Rav Shimon ben Yehuda are disagreeing about the status of a tumtum. The Tana Kama Sovereign, it's not actually the Tana Kama, because the Chachamim are not the first Tana mentioned in this Braisa. There is second Tana in the Braisa. But the first Tana before Rav Shimon Yehuda holds Ein Kedusha Cholava to androgynous, that he holds that the Chachamim hold that androgynous is a very b'fnei atzma. But they attempt them, the Chachamim hold Sveikahu is a Sofik Zocha, a Sofik Mekayim Rekodesh Sveika. Vos Rav Shimon Lameimah, Rav Shimon Yehuda Lameimah, and Rav Shimon ben Yehuda's opinion is that Tumtum Ber Yehu, that the Tumtum is considered an independent barrier, the Loi Kaddish. And the Mefarshim explain why. Some say because since it's different, we're going to see this concept later in the Shir, since it's different than all other animals, that makes it into a barrier. Or others explain the fact that it has a Suffolk surrounding it, that is enough to create a situation that it should be treated as a bari b'fnei atzma. But what we see clearly, it seems, is that it is the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yehuda that a tumtum is a bari b'fnei atzma. But Rav Chisda began today's shir by saying that everyone agrees that a tumtum is not a bari b'fnei atzma. Says the Gemara Loi. We don't have to explain Rav Shimon ben Yehuda that way. Everybody, says the Gemara, the kulam of tumtum a bari lo misafka. There is no question that a tumtum is not a bari b'fnei atzma. The question is only if zochah or nekeva the masafka, if it's a zochah or a nekeva. And continues the Gemara to say, matl mayim b'makom zakaris, if it urinates from the place that a male urinates, then the kulam will pligi the zochah, everybody will agree that it's to be treated as a zochah. Ki pligi, where we have a machlokes, the matl mayim b'makom nachtas, where it urinates in the place where a female normally does so. Ma'asava, the Chacham hold, that even though we have this tumtum that's urinating the makom nachtas, we must be concerned, shem nefcha zachrusa l'nachvusoi. Maybe since the zachrus of this animal is concealed, what happened here is it got bent to the place where the female normally urinates. Well, my suffer, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda holds, what Kishina, we need not be concerned for that. Ki har the har of Eloi, as indeed we find Rav Eloi saying, the behema matel mai b'makim nakfos, that if a tumtum urinates where a female urinates, chulin it's certainly not a b'char. So actually, Rav Chisda's opinion has been somewhat modified, but it still stands. This is the way the Rishonim explained. Because the Rishonim explained that what Rav Chisda now is still able to maintain is that a tumtum is not a barrier b'fnei atzma. The only question is, how do we treat it? So till now, Rav Chisda has been saying that it's a full-fledged sofik. Now the Gemara is somewhat modifying it. That if it's matl mayim b'makom zachrus, everybody will actually agree it's a zachar. And if it's matl mayim b'makom nakfus, there the Chachamim have a question, and Shimon holds it certainly on the keva. But to say that it's a bari b'fnei atzma, Rav Shimon has still sort of been able to maintain his position that it's not a bari b'fnei atzma. However, ask the Gemara, ask Rav Yochanan on Rav Eloi's ruling, mandel achos b'tanakam or b'shmol, the one that's not concerned about the opinion of the Tanakhama. Both these Tanoim held that a tumtum that is matl mayim b'makom nachtas is a sofik. Because the Tanakhama in our Mishnah said that a tumtum is a sofik. And Rav Shmuel only disputed an androgynous, but not a tumtum. How could Reb Eloi go against these Tanoim? Ask the Gemara. V'leim Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan could have even asked a stronger question. V'leim Reb Yochanan nami mandal loichosh lebani v'asroi. What does Reb Yochanan say that Reb Eloi is also disregarding what the last chacham of the Mishnah said? Damar Chizda, as we've been learning our entire shir, Reb Chizda has been teaching us that the question about an androgynous, the question about being a berry b'snei atzma, that is the opinion of the Rabbanim b'asroi of our Mishnah, is only by an androgynous. Alba tumtum, the Rehakos Sveika. Everybody agrees it's a sophic. So by Reb Eloi saying that it's not a sophic, he's disputing all of the Tanoim of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, let's see later, Rabbi Chizda. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with Rabbi Chizda. And Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Rabbanan Basroi of our Mishnah, just like they hold that an androgynous is a berry with Neatzmai, so too will they hold that a Tumtum is a berry with Neatzmai. Says the Gemara, so if that's the case, if that's how Rabbi Yochanan understands the Rabbanan Basroi of our Mishnah, Eloi Svirlei, and Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav Chizda, and Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Rabbanan Basroi of our Mishnah hold that a Tumtum is a berry with Neatzma, so why doesn't he say Lame the Huamak Rabbanan Basroi? Why don't we just say that Rav Eloi paskins like the Rabbanan Basroi? Says the Gemara, Hachinami Kama. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan meant to say. He said, I understand that Rav Eloi is paskining like the Rabbanan Basroi of the Mishnah. What bothers me, however, says Rabbi Yochanan, Man Shavak Trey, the Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel disagree with the Rabbanan Basroi, and my problem is, how does he disregard the opinion of those Tanoim for the Kitchad? And Rishash makes an interesting observation. Even though this opinion, as Rabbi Yochanan is explaining, is the opinion of the Rabbanan Basroi, it's not to be understood as a rabbin, that the Halacha follows them. They're just one more opinion, and Rabbi Yochanan now is wondering how Rabbi Eloi agrees, how Rabbi Eloi disregards, ignores the first two opinions. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Eloi commands Savra. What indeed is the basis for Rabbi Eloi's opinion, that he follows the opinion of the Chachamim Basroi? Answers the Gemara. Ki hadam Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish draws a distinction between a human tumtum and a female tumtum. Loyomer tumtum sophic, when we speak about a tumtum being a sophic, it's only by Adam, only by people. Why? The female and male simonim are very near each other. Avo behema, when we speak about an animal, since the makam zachrus and makam nakvus are more distant, we could be sure it's a zachar, and we could be sure it's a nekeva. And that will be then according to all Tanoim, says Reish Lakish, and that is the basis of Reb Eloi. Obviously, according to Reb Yochanan, and according to Reb Eloi, all of the brises that we began today's shiur with in Amud Aleph, where the Gemara kept on saying, Sami Mikan Tumtum, that we have to remove the Tumtum from the list, no longer must we do so, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbanan Basroi considered a berry b'fnei atzma. Ask the Gemara that we're now saying that both Rabbi Eloi and Reish Lakish agree that if a tumtum urinates in the area of the nakvus, we consider it a full-fledged nekeva, maskelah Rav Oshia, but why? As we learned earlier, since this is not a normal situation, maybe the male organ is now in the place where normally it's the female, and that's why it's urinating from that spot. How could he be sure that if the animal is urinating from the makam nakvus, it is to be treated as a nekeva? Amal Abaya, says Abaya, come on, whose opinion are you want or belong to be concerned with? We learned the opinion of Rameyer in the Masechta Yevamos. We learned it earlier in our Masechta that the halacha is that a islandess and a saris, we'll speak about that soon more, there is no din of Yibum by them, and therefore, if the remaining brother is the surviving brother is a katan, or the wife is a katana, we have to be concerned that maybe he's a soros or an islandess. That is the opinion of Rameya, who's choishish lemiyuta, even though most people are baruch shem not a soros or islandess. So the Gemara is asking, Abai is asking, why you're worried that Rabbi should agree with Rameya? It's only Rameya who's chayish lemiyuta. We are normally chayish lemiyuta. Says the Gemara, this was the question. Abai bar oven, Rav Chanina bar oven, Dami Tavayu, afil tem rabbonim. Yes, we don't normally follow the opinion of Rameya that's chayish lemiyuta. But here we have a unique situation. Hoyo v'ishtini ishtini. A tumtum is certainly an abnormal situation. And therefore, the fact that it's abnormal should raise questions. And therefore, even though this animal is urinating the makam nakfus, we shouldn't be so quick to be sure that it's on the keva. Answers the Gemara. Ishta ama ishtini. There are opinions that say that the fact that there's an abnormality is something that should be taken into consideration. This Talmud, but there are opinions that say lo yishtani, that that is not taken into consideration. Says the Gemara. Now that we've identified that there's a machloikis, if the fact that there's an abnormality, the fact that this animal is a tumtum, should we also be concerned for further abnormalities? Perhaps, suggests the Gemara, is a machloikis tanoi. Lema ishtani v'loi ishtani tanoi. The tanya. Tumtum shekidesh. If we have a tumtum who married a woman. Kedusha of kedushin. The kedushin is considered a kedushin. Since there's a possibility that he's a male. And the woman who he was ma'aris would require a get. Niskadish. If he was the female. If a male was Makadosh Atumtum, Kedushav Kedushav, again, we consider it a Kedushin, not that one may have relations with him, but that once he did Erisin, he may not marry the relatives of this Tumtum as if she were his wife. The Chaylitz, if his married brother dies without children, Atumtum does Chalitza. And similarly, if he dies without children, chalitza is done to his wife. And not only may chalitza be done to his wife, but even yibum, because memamshach. If she was his wife, so then there's a mitzvah of yibum. And if, on the other hand, the kedushin wasn't a halachically valid kedushin, then she was never an eshes ish, and she was never his sister-in-law. And therefore the brothers may marry this woman. V'tani idach. But there's another brayse that says, Eish is tumtum, the wife of a tumtum, chaletzes, chalitza is performed with her, but not yibum. And ask the Lord Mr. Benz. Says the Gemara, Sruah, the kol alma k'Rabbi Akiva. Everybody, the Gemara assumes that everybody agrees with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Dama, sritz chama, loy chayrutz v'loy miyabim. A Swiss Chama is a person who's sterile, but he was always sterile from birth. Why is he called Swiss Chama? Most Mepharshim explain, because from whenever he was able to see the sun, from ever he came into the world, he was always sterile. Others say that such sterility typically comes from his mother being exposed to heat, to extreme heat during her pregnancy. And Rav Kiva's opinion is that a Swiss Chama is not Chaylitz V'lo Miyabim. Why? The halacha is that somebody who's sterile obviously can't perform Yibam. And the hope, because the purpose of Yibam is to have children, he can't have children. And the halacha is whoever can't do Yibam doesn't do Chalitza. Furthermore, the wife of a Swiss also doesn't have to have Chalitza in order to remarry, because the Torah says the widow of a Soris is not subject to Yibum, and therefore is also not subject to chalitza because he's a person that's shmoy mochli. So now the Gemara is saying that everybody agrees that a Sris Cham is excluded from even chalitza. And what will be the machlokes here that we learned regarding the person that the tumtum was ma'aris? Is he subject to at least chalitza and yibum, or she's only subject to chalitza? Says the Gemara, the man da mecholitz vecholtzin l'ishtoi u'miyabnis ishtoi. Does not say that since he changed in the fact that he's a tumtum, we also have to suspect that he's a Sris Chama. And therefore, since we don't have to suspect that he's a Sris Chama, we go back to our Mamon of Shach that we explained earlier. For if this woman were indeed the wife of the tumtum, and the tumtum died without children, she's subject to the halachos of Yibum and Chalitza. If she was never his wife, so certainly his brother may marry her. She was never his sister-in-law. We have to be concerned that the tumtum was a male, but the tumtum was a male who's a Sris Chama, and as we learned, the Sris Chama's wife is not subject to Yibum, and therefore we only do Chalitza. Because if she were indeed his wife, she would be absolved from Chalitza and Yibum, because he was a Sris Chama. And not only would she be absolved from Chalitza Yibum, when there is no Chalitza Yibum, there's a very strong Isser Erva in place, the Isser of Eishes Ach. On the other hand, maybe she was never his wife. On the other hand, maybe he wasn't a Soros. And therefore, only Chalitza should be done, not Yibum. Says the Gemara, Loi. That isn't necessarily the way to understand that Machloikis, that we spoke about the wife of the Tumtum, if she can have Yibum or she could only have Chalitza. Because the Kul Amar Amirin Ha'il V'Ishtini Ishtini, everybody agrees that if there was a change of a Tumtum, we need to be concerned that indeed he's a Sris Chama. Harav Elezer, the Braisa says that this woman can have either Chalitza or Yibum follows the opinion of Rav Elezer that holds that Chalitza and Yibum are performed even on the wife of a Sris Chama, for Harav Akiva. And the Braisa that says that only Chalitza should be done follows the opinion of Akiva, who says that Chalitza and Yibam are not done on the wife of a Sris Chama. But everybody could agree that Hoyel V'Ishtani, Ishtani, everybody does agree that since he had one abnormality, that is a Tumtum, we also need to say that he very likely, or very possibly, has another abnormality, that is a Sris Chama. There's a very interesting question in the Paiskim. Agmar is clearly establishing that we're saying Hoyel V'Ishtani Ishtani. If there's one abnormality, there must be another abnormality. The Masham discusses, is this only in physical situations, like the case that we're talking about, or is it also by non-physical situations? He discusses a situation that, let's say, we know the Gemara makes a number of assumptions that people don't pay their debt. One of the assumptions the Gemara gives is that people don't pay their debts before the time. Now, let's say you see a person who's extremely meticulous and he pays his debt. We do see that he pays his debts before the negula time. Does that mean that all of the chazakas that we have in Shas regarding such individual fall away by such a person, or we do not say so? Ask the Gemara, Ma Tana leave the Rekiva. Who is the Tana that holds a Rekiva, that holds that a Sris Chama's wife doesn't have Chalitza Yibum, and therefore will be the man, the Omer, that says that the wife of a Tumtum also will not be subject to have the Halacha, not be able to have Yibum? Because as the Rishonim point out, even though we could attribute this opinion to Rekiva, the Gemara is looking for somebody who takes a Rekiva's opinion about Sris Chama and brings it all the way down to a Tumtum as well. Ilam Rabbi Yehuda, if we're going to say Rabbi Yehuda, Havadi Sris Mashulei. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a Tumtum is not maybe a Soros, he's considered certainly a Soros. The Tan, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, Tumtum Shenikra V'Nimtza Zachar, even if the Tumtum's area opened up and we see that he's certainly a male, Harez Lo Yachlitz. He still doesn't perform chalitza on a sister-in-law because he's a soros, and a soros doesn't do chalitza either. Ella Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. So the Gemara found Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda mitumta like chalitz. Shemi yikare, because maybe we'll discover he's a Sfiris Chama. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is concerned that he's a Sfiris Chama, but he doesn't say that he's definitely a Sfiris Chama. Ask the Gemara before we go further. Ata called in the Mikra. Every tumtum that his area opens up, zaka mishtakech, the kevulah mishtakech, only turns out to be a male, not a female. Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand it. Shema kama. Shema yikarvi yimtsin akeva. Number one, he may be a female. Inam izochinami, and even if he turns out to be a male, shema yimatsi srischama, he may be a srischama. So now the Gemara has taught us that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda say that a tumtum shouldn't perform chalitza. Rabbi Yehuda says because he's certainly a srischama, and Rabbi Yossi Yehuda says because maybe. Ask him, Amai Benayu, what's the practical nafkamina between their approaches? Amar Rava, two nafkaminas. Lifts of a makam achim. While we are halacha, we know that halacha is that if there are a number of brothers, so any of the brothers is qualified to do yibam. Furthermore, the halacha is that once one brother did yibam or chalitza, no other brother may do yibam or chalitza. So while we are halacha, if this tumtum did chalitza, will she be still obligated to have Yibam Chalitza or even be able to have Yibam Chalitza from another brother? According to Yehuda, since he's certainly a Sfiris Chama, and Yehuda's found the opinion of Yehuda or Akiva that Sfiris Chama Chalitza is nothing, another brother can and should do Chalitza or Yibam. According to the rest of Yehuda, he may not be a Sfiris Chama, and therefore another brother can't do Yibam, he should only do Chalitza Misafik. Or, let's say there are no other brothers other than this tumtum. Is the wife of this brother who died obligated to have chalitza yibam from this tumtum brother? According to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no room for his chalitza is meaningless. He's a Sfiris Chama, and a Sfiris Chama doesn't do chalitza, and this woman can get remarried without any other requirements. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, he may be a Sfiris Chama, but he may not be a Sfiris Chama. And since he may not be a Sfiris Chama, so therefore Chalitza, he should do Chalitza Misafik Lechumra. Hadron Loch Eilam Umen, Hadron Loch Eilam Umen, Hadron Loch Eilam Umen.